Would you take your Bible and turn with me, please, to the Epistle of Colossians in your New Testament and locate chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3.
Get them up, preacher.
Amen. I love that. Oh, yeah, I like that, guys. That's like throwing red meat to a wolf, man. All right? So I'm going to enjoy this. So what they're referring to, in case you were wondering, for those of you in the back, if you missed last week I told the story about a pastor out in California named Pastor E.V. Hill, and he pastored a church called Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles, California, and he had a just godly, elderly woman within his congregation and this is the story that he told. They didn't know what her real name was. They nicknamed her 1800 because she also didn't know how old she was. But she was a godly woman, loved the Lord, and she had a real important personal ministry within the church. She sat right up on the front row of every service. And what she would do is, and this became somewhat challenging in the church, especially when visiting preachers were invited to preach. Now, Pastor E.V. Hill, he loved it, but when visiting preachers would come to the church, they weren't expecting this, so they would start preaching, and within the first couple of minutes of the sermon, if the visiting pastor didn't start talking about Jesus, like if in her mind he wasn't getting Jesus up quick enough, she would start yelling, "Get him up, preacher!" And Pastor Hill went on to say that if that pastor who was preaching that morning, if somewhere along the way, soon after that exhortation took place, if Jesus didn't start getting lifted up in the sermon, it was a really long day for that preacher. And so I've got my friends here this morning on the front row who have decided. Stand up, you bunch of troublemakers. Come on, stand up. Identify yourselves, all right? All right? All right. And I got to tell you, one of the things I love about this, honestly, is it's some of our young men in the church. Don't you like that? I really like that. I like that a lot. So thank you, and we're going to try to do that today by God's grace, all right? So don't yell at me too much. We're going to get him up. But I do want to say this. This morning's message is a departure from a series in the Gospel of Luke, because I want to take the time today to really lay out for us as a church family where it is that we believe God wants us to go this year. What is it that God wants us to accomplish this year? We have a whole year ahead of us, right? 2018 is now before us. And what are the things that God would have us to seek to do for His glory this year? So I want to cast some vision in that way for you, that we might together as a church family rally around these ideas and as one accord, seek the unique ways in which we together can get him up. But as I also said to you last week, I said not only do we need to get him up, but then I believe God is calling us this year especially to focus on what? Not only getting him up, but getting him out. Getting him out. Getting him out into the community, about us, you, me, all of us, getting Jesus out into our community. And so I want to challenge you this morning, church family, and in some ways that we can specifically do that. And so that's why I've asked you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, because I want to share with you the verse that really is for us this year. It's formulating the basic principle that we're going to go after all year together as a church family. Colossians 3, look with me at verse 17. The scripture says there in Colossians 3:17 that we are to what? Whatever you do. Now here's the key. In word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We want to get Him up, and we want to get Him out. Amen. And the way that we want to do that this year is both in word and in deed. We want to get Him up, we want to get Him out. We're going to work together to accomplish this. It will involve our good works, because Jesus said what? He said that people in Christ will be identified, right? By your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And we're going to speak the gospel this year, and I'm going to tell you how we're going to do that together throughout this message. Now, I want to ask you to turn to the book of Acts with me. I've got several passages that we are going to examine together this morning. But with that verse, Colossians 3:17, is our theme for the year. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. There are four areas in which I believe we each individually and then corporately as a body that we need to focus on this year to get Jesus lifted up and to get Him out into the community. And there are four specific areas in which I want us to focus this morning, and I'm going to challenge each of us in these areas. And the first one is in the area of fellowship. Secondly, in the area of our personal growth in Christ. Thirdly, I want to take some time this morning to speak about us together growing in the area of our personal and, yes, corporate worship. And then lastly, in the efforts of our personal and corporate evangelism and outreach into our community. So let's begin with the first one, the area of our fellowship. You've turned to Acts chapter 2. Now look with me, if you would, at verse 42. We've read this section of Scripture many times over the years, but it's so good for us to come back to it, because it points us back to those early days, the foundational days of the church. And it instructs us in many ways as to how the church was organizing itself and how the church was giving itself to very particular things that were causing the growth of the church and the growth of the people. And I think these are the things that we need to constantly come back to ourselves. We've got to be reminding ourselves that this is what the early church did. And they did this in part to set an example for all who would follow, for us. And so verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, it says that they, the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. And then notice what it says, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now that's just so very simple. That is not complicated, is it? This is not hard to understand. When we think about what we ought to give ourselves to as a church body this year, as believers, it's very clear that we should give ourselves to the teaching of the Word of God. They gave themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then it says to what? Fellowship. Being together. Working at that. And then notice, it says the breaking of bread. It literally means they got together and they shared meals together. And then, of course, it says prayers. They were a people committed to prayer, both individually and then corporately, collectively as well. And the book of Acts has some wonderful stories, doesn't it, where God's people gathered together and prayed. They cried out to God, and God did miraculous things. We still worship the same God today. Now, verse 43 tells us what the result of them practicing this simple formula. Verse 43 says, "And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were gathered together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." So let's just pause and consider that. So what did this result in practically within the hearts of the people who were gathering in this way? A great generosity of heart. There was such a generosity that people were seeing. Wow, there are people in my gathering, in my church, here in this fellowship, and they have needs. I can meet the need. I'm going to go sell this, sell that, and I'm going to help these people. This was the natural outworking that took place as a result of the Spirit's work because of their simple giving themselves to these things. And it continues. Notice. It says in verse 46, "And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God." And then notice it says, "and having favor with all the people." And the end result was the last sentence of verse 47. "The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." We don't need some high-tech outreach program. We don't need some new secret that some supposed professional doctor so-and-so Big Britches has written in his book that's going to give you the secret how to win people to Christ. This isn't complicated. It's just not, is it? It's not complicated. Now, while it isn't complicated, at times it is difficult. It is. It's difficult. I want to touch on a couple of areas in which I think we today find some difficulty with these principles. All right, so the first thing I want to challenge you to do this year, because we're talking about fellowship. This is the first area, okay? Fellowship. And I want to give you some very practical things that I am exhorting you to now consider working at this year as a church family and individually in your homes, okay? Here's number one. I am asking you to work hard this year to simply intentionally eat with other people in our church. How hard is that? How hard is that? I'm just saying, will you be intentional about this? Will you get together with your husband, your wife, your children, or your friends and say, "I'm a part of this church family, and there are people in this body that I don't know. But I want to know them. I see them on Sundays. I pass them in the hallways. We're cordial to one another. We're friendly. We wave. We chit-chat a little bit here and there. But then the rest of the time, I'm out the door, they're out the door, and I really don't see them again until I walk back in through the doors next week." And the only way that changes, the only way that we grow closer together, where God knits our hearts together, is to be intentional in these kinds of practical ways. Where you look around and you say, "You know what? We don't know that couple over there, and we want to know that couple. And so what we're going to do is instead of waiting for them to approach us, we're actually going to extend ourselves to them. And we're going to say, you know what, after church this next Sunday, would you consider going out to eat with us? Because we would just like to get to know you and give you an opportunity to get to know us." doesn't have to be on a Sunday. It could be during the course of the week if that's better than you. But what I'm talking about here is us together, all of us, saying, let's be intentionally proactive in this. Let's not wait for the other person to approach us. Let's be the ones to take the step. Let's take the risk. Because let's be honest, in a sense, it is a risk, isn't it? Because all of us in here fear something when we even think about doing what I'm suggesting. And what is it that we all fear? We fear rejection. We do. So let's all make an agreement together, okay? Can we all agree that if somebody else in this church approaches us and invites us to a meal, whether it's out at a restaurant or in their home, if somebody does that here in our church this year, I'm making the public promise I will accept that invitation. We will work it out so that we can do that with you. If that's your promise, will you raise your hand this morning? Many hands. Amen. Amen. All right? That's the vast majority of us in here. Okay? Now I want to get even, let me break it down a little more finely for you, if I may. And I am emphasizing the nature of, we are one body of believers. Amen, church? One body. And there is one way in which you and I together can press into this even a little bit further, in a little bit of an even deeper way, that I think will be so beneficial to you and to all of us as a church family. And our church family, by God's grace, uniquely gives us this opportunity to do what I'm about to suggest. In light of what is taking place within our culture, in light of the division and the hostility, in light of the corrosive anger that is within our culture and the increasing struggle that our culture seems to be having along racial lines, might some of us in here consider actually pressing into this idea further in the sense that we say, look, not only do I want to reach out to somebody that I don't know, but I'm going to endeavor to reach out to somebody who may be very different than me, who may come from a very different experience that I'm from, who has different outlooks on life, but we're in the same church together, we're worshiping the same Lord together, we're of one faith together, and so I'm going to actually take a step across that pathway right there and extend myself to my brother, to my sister. Jesus said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love one for another. We have an opportunity to do that. Because we, by God's grace, are blessed with a multitude of ethnicities within our congregation. We have opportunity to do this. All of us do. It's not just on one group or this group. It's on all of us. We're all one together. We're all equal in Christ. Amen? There's no man or woman here in this place that's better than anybody else. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. All of us. So we fellowship together in that light, that we are one. So will you take my exhortation to heart? Will you? I'm asking you, will you do this? Intentionally this year, work on this. Number two. Regarding the matter of fellowship, there's another way in which you can increase your fellowship opportunities in our church. And that is that I have discovered through the years, and many others have as well, that some of the greatest relationships are formed when people are working and serving together. And this is, I've seen this especially true with men, by the way, okay? Like men, we bond, we get together, and we really form relationships when we can work what I kind of call that whole shoulder-to-shoulder thing, right? We put ourselves together in a task. It's a lot harder to get a group of men to, like, to circle up in a little circle together and, like, you know, like, stare into each other's eyes and share our deepest, like, oh, here's, I mean, that's really hard for us men, isn't it? How many of you agree with me on that, right? Like, navel-gazing for men is really difficult, okay? But if the guys are like, hey, you know, bring it, we got this task to do, we've got to get this project done, and bring your shovels and bring your hammers and bring whatever it is, that, whatever you want to use, and let's just work together. Guys are like, all right, I'm going to do this, right? Let's go. And then relationships are being built, okay? So we're going to start digging holes. I don't know why, but we're just going to go out back. Bring your shovel this Saturday. And we're going to dig a hole out back. And next week, we're going to fill it in. We got to work together. This is actually one of the things, I'm kind of reflecting back on our history a little bit here right now, but this is actually one of the things that was a real blessing in the early days of our church. Before we moved into this facility, we were, you know, what's known as a mobile congregation. We rented school buildings, and we had trailers that were full of chairs and all kinds of sound equipment. And we had men in the middle of January and February and all out throughout the year. And there were some women that helped as well with this, actually. But it was primarily undergirded by some of the men of our church, and they were our setup and teardown team. And they would roll in chairs and all the sound equipment showing up at the church at 6 a.m. on a cold, negative 2-degree January morning, but these guys would work together, and that was one of the things, like, once we moved into here, we kind of lost some of that, and I've kind of wrestled with that, like, what do we do about that, and that's why I'm like, we're going to dig holes, that's what we're going to do, so. But it's real, those are some real things. But there are other areas. Let me just give you some things, okay? There are ways in which you can participate in an existing ministry that will bring you into relationship with other people in our church that you might not even know yet. But you'll serve together. I'm going to list a few of them for you here. We've got a great kids ministry. It's happening right now in the back. And they do a great job, teachers and helpers, and all of that's organized by Pastor Rob. Our youth ministry, middle school and high schoolers, meet here on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. An Awana ministry, which is specifically for those fifth grade and below, that meets here every Sunday night at 6 o'clock. We've got a friendship center that meets a couple of days throughout the middle of the week right down at this end of the building. It's designed to reach out to those ethnic minorities within our community, specifically those who need help learning English. We offer English as a second language. We're doing these kinds of things to reach out to the people within our community. That's happening every week. You could be a part of that if you choose to. We've got a food pantry here. It's called the Harvest Loves Food Pantry. And every month, a group of people gather together here in this building, and we've got, I don't know how many people it is now, but I've heard it's like 100 and 150 people that we are giving food away, groceries, every single month. We're helping these families, and it's all free. We don't charge anything. It's literally something that we do to show the love of Christ. You could be a part of that if you wanted to be a part of that. We've got a prayer team. We've got folks that meet up here at the front of the auditorium after every service so that they can pray with you if you have a need. You could be a part of that if you wanted to be. We've got needs in the areas of our ushers and our greeters and our welcoming team so that those who come understand, well, here's where you need to go. Here's where the children's, here's where the bathrooms are. Here's a bulletin. All of those kinds of touches that really matter to somebody who walks into a church, especially for the first time. We've got needs there. We have a security team around here, okay? I'm sorry that we have to do this today, but the reality is we do. We live in a day where we have to make sure that we've got people that are here and scheduled for the purpose of keeping their eye on things. And there are people in our church here today, you don't even know who they are, but they are here on our security team, walking around the building in some cases, some even here in the auditorium, for the express purpose of reacting in the event, God forbid, that we would need somebody to react, okay? But we need more help in that area. You could be a part of that if you wanted to. to be, okay? We've got a sound and media ministry. You see the people in the back and in the room back there because we broadcast our messages, live stream them, and we could use help in there in the sound area as well. Our men's and women's ministries are always scheduling gatherings. Ladies, I want to ask you a question. Our women's ministry has been doing some wonderful things. The last couple years have just been some incredible gatherings. I want to ask you, have you ever gone to one of those ladies' gatherings? Have you ever gone? And if not, why not? I'm being serious. Why? They put so much effort into these things. It's such a great way to get to know other ladies within the church. This is why they do it. They want to encourage you. They want to be encouraged by you. I would hope that every single woman sitting here whose schedule would permit them to do so and whose health would enable them to do so, the next time that there's a women's gathering, that you would say, you know what, I'm really going to try to be a part of that. I'm going to extend myself in that way. You'll be blessed by that, I promise. Men's, same thing. Same thing, guys. We're doing things all the time together. As we continue to schedule these things, I hope you'll consider being a part of that. There's so much more I want to say, but young adults in here. We've got a great young adult group that is rocking right now in this church, all right? It meets every Thursday night under the leadership of Pastor Mike. They meet here, what is it, 6, 7 o'clock? What time you guys start? None of you know. It's not rocking. 7 o'clock. See, I can give you a hard time if you can give me a hard time. So 7 o'clock on Thursday nights, there's a great young adult group that's meeting here. You should check it out. If you're a young adult, if you're a 20-something college student, or even up into those upper 20, this is a group for you. You should consider it. It's really an encouraging place to be on Thursday nights. Our worship team, I'm so blessed every Sunday I walk into this place, and I hear just unbelievably gifted musicians being used of the Lord to lead us before the throne of grace. Do you play an instrument? Do you sing? Well, guess what? We would like for you to try out and come and give it a shot. We would really like for you to do that. There's room, okay? See Pastor Joe about that. He'd love to consider you. So, look, there's lots of opportunities, and I'm bringing all of this up to say not only do these areas need help, but the point is this, is that when you serve alongside other people in these ways, you build these really crucial relationships with other brothers and sisters in Christ. One last thing on this fellowship point, and that is, I would really like to ask you this year to seriously consider, if you're not already in a small group, would you consider joining a small group this year and making that a consistent part of your life? Maybe you would host one in your home. Maybe you would say, I'll start one. I'll open my home. I don't want to lead it, but I'm willing to have my home opened as a host home. We could do that even if you didn't feel that you were capable of leading it yet. But we have regular trainings for those who want to be a part of leading a small group Bible study in their home. My small group has been one of the biggest blessings in my life. And I know others who are apart and have been consistent would say the same thing. So would you consider doing that this year? That will really be a blessing to you, and it will help you increase your spiritual growth. And let's move to the next one, all right? I've got three others, and I've got to move quickly here, all right? Let's go back to Psalm 42 now. I've got a couple other passages I want to turn to. So let's go back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 42. So I'm transitioning now from the area of fellowship, and I already mentioned it, but that is the area of personal spiritual growth. I want to challenge all of us regarding this area of our lives, 2018. About a year ago, I challenged our church family to do everything they could, each of us in our lives, to spend at least 10 minutes alone with God every day. Get the book opened and read it and meditate upon it and memorize it and spend some time praying. These are what we call the spiritual disciplines. It's crucial for you and I to grow in Christ by feeding ourselves. Isn't that true? You see, you can't just come on Sunday and expect Pastor Dan or whoever's up here preaching to feed you spiritually. We want to do that, and we're doing our best to do that, but you've got to be feeding yourself throughout the course of the week. I bring that challenge forward once again. And look at, I believe, here's the attitude that you and I need to have about this. Psalm 42. Listen to the words here of the psalmist in verse 1. It says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they sang to me all the day long, where is your God? Well, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and I would lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Now let's just pause there for a moment and realize that as the psalmist here, this is David, is writing this, he's now reflecting back on his time of going into the temple and leading the procession and the worship of God. And there was, for Israel at that time, some very specific ways in which they would approach God within the temple. But the good news for us as New Testament believers today is this, is that we can meet in a very personal, intimate way with God because the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us and we have the Word of God with us in ways that the Old Testament believers did not have. They would have to go to the temple and they would have to have ministry, the ministry of the priest to them. But you and I, as New Testament followers, we've got the Word of God, the very Word of God. And we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. You can have your own temple experience in your home every day of the week with God. Do you realize that? Okay? This is important. I'm not minimizing our gatherings here. In fact, the New Testament shows that the people of God did this. They gathered and they scattered. That was the process of gathering and then what? Scattering to preach the gospel. And they would gather together for mutual encouragement and fellowship, all that stuff in Acts chapter 2. But we've got to be personally in the Word of God and studying it. And I'm asking you, commit to at least 10 minutes a day this year. And if you say, Dan, I did that this whole last year. I was so blessed by it. Why don't you up it to 20 minutes? Amazing. Up it to 20. Set that time aside. Carve it out. You'll be blessed. Number two, in regards to this area of personal growth, something that you can do. I'm not saying all of you need to do this. This is an option here in a sense, but it is something that I believe will be a blessing to you, and it's something that our church is providing for you to help you grow in your understanding and your knowledge of the Word of God. And that is, you know, we started a little over a year or so ago the Harvest Bible Institute here at the church. And those who have taken those classes have been incredibly blessed. I want to urge you to consider pushing yourself to take a class this year in the Harvest Bible Institute and even take it for credit. In other words, be held accountable for the reading and the quizzes that you'll take and the things that will be assigned to you. Push yourself in this way. I know that Steve Schlichter, I don't know if he's here in this service or not right now, but I know he's teaching a church history class coming up here soon. I believe the information is in your bulletin about that. You may want to consider diving into that class. Steve's an excellent teacher. All of our teachers are qualified, excellent teachers. And we're just trying to equip you and provide ways for you to grow personally in your walk with Christ. I hope you'll consider that. All right, let's move on to the third area that I mentioned a little while ago, and that is the area of worship. And for this, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Would you do that? Ephesians. So let's go back to the New Testament and locate the epistle Ephesians. So you got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So Ephesians 5. I want to talk to you about this matter of worship, and I'm speaking both individually, but particularly I want to put forward some exhortations in the realm of our corporate gathering, our corporate worship. So notice verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15. The Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Well, some things never change, do they? Verse 17, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Okay, well, Paul, what is the will of the Lord? Verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But instead, what? Be filled with the Spirit." Now look at me for just a moment. So the exhortation is, don't get drunk. Okay, it's pretty clear, isn't it? Don't get drunk. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. But now, there's the next phrase there, beginning in verse 19, that's going to show us what that then looks like. What will that look like if we are filled with the Spirit? Well, it's going to apply it now in a corporate setting, because look at verse 19. It says, addressing one another. Stop, look at me for a minute. Addressing one another. Being filled with the Spirit is going to result in you and I gathering together and addressing one another in some very specific ways. Well, what are those ways, Dan? I'm so glad you asked. It says addressing one another in, here it is, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now notice it says singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So there's both the heart aspect of our singing, but there's the actual physical aspect of our singing, of actually singing. Singing is a part of what the church has always done historically. And here's the point that I want you and I to really grasp this morning, and that is simply this. The Scripture says that our time of singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is to be done in a way in which we recognize that the very process of our singing together is an opportunity for you and I to actually address one another. Do you see that? In other words, the emphasis is not so much on the personal, like my own little personal worship experience that I have, though there's nothing wrong with that, but the emphasis on the text is on the corporate worship experience that we have collectively together as a church family. So I want to ask some of you this question. How encouraged are others around you as a result of your effort during our time of corporate worship? Are you, through your singing, through your expressions, through your participation in this idea of us unifying together, are others around you able to be encouraged by your example? Furthermore, let me ask you this. How would the preaching and the pulpit ministry of our church be on Sunday mornings? How encouraging would it be to you if I approached preaching on Sunday morning the same way some of you approach our corporate worship time every Sunday? No, I'm serious. If I preached the way you worship, how much would you like to listen to me preach? This is the one another aspect. I come in here on Sunday mornings and sometimes I'm singing and I look around and I see others and I see them just participating and singing with all their hearts, and some are clapping and raising their hands. And I, you know what that does for me as the pastor? I'm just telling you, it really encourages my heart. It like lifts me up. Like, I get so encouraged by that. And then sometimes I look around and I see others of you. And I'm just being honest. When we talk about this one another aspect, it actually discourages me. I mean, I want you to, I literally want you to feel the weight of that. And I'm saying this to you, please accept this, please hear my heart in this, but see, this is, we're all in this together. Do you see what I'm saying here? There's this corporate communal aspect. Well, yeah, Pastor Dan, I don't really like the music. Oh. If you don't like the music or whatever it is, can you at least say and recognize that we're choosing songs on a consistent basis that are lyrically rich, deep? Like, these songs should lift our hearts before the Lord. Amen? I'm serious. We're not choosing songs that are like this deep, and we're trying to go through and pick old songs of the faith and songs that are written today, but they're all, they've got substance to them. They cause us to think greater things about God, all right? Like, I'm as big, I hate, just like many of you do, what's commonly known as the Jesus is my boyfriend type of contemporary songs. You know what I mean? They're really like I feel like I'm in a love song with Jesus right now. All right, like there's something about that I don't like, but we are consistently trying to pick songs that have some depth to them, okay? So even if you don't like the musical style, can you just get with it with us? All right? And we're trying to blend styles together, because here's the thing, and this is one of the things, again, Joe and I have had a lot of conversation about this. We recognize that in this church, we have a wide variety of backgrounds as far as church backgrounds are concerned. And one of the areas that is most difficult is trying to create a worship environment in which all of us together can say, you know what, that song wasn't quite my thing, but I sure loved this one here, you know? And we're listening and we're hearing from all of you in the church, and we're listening, we're trying to blend it all together. But please, please, will you come to church on Sunday ready to go with us, ready to encourage our worship pastor so that when he looks out at you, you're actually encouraging him. It's like these guys saying, get him up, preacher. You know, and I said, that's like throwing red meat to a wolf. Well, you know what? You doing some clapping, raising your hands, and smiling at Joe while he's singing. I know he's ugly. I get it, okay? All right? I repent. All right, I've repented. I've asked God to forgive me. He's got a wonderfully beautiful wife, though. Amen. All right. I don't want to see Joe after the service is over. But do you hear my heart in what I'm trying to say to you? I want our church to be a place where the worship time is vibrant. It's alive. Let's all work on that together. Lastly, and I'm done. I've gone too long. All the children's ministry workers are going to be angry with me. All right, I got to cover this, though. Matthew chapter 28. Let's turn there lastly, okay? Matthew 28. The last area that I want to talk about is evangelism and outreach. I've already mentioned this a couple of times over the last few weeks, so I will shorten up my exhortation here, but I want us really to work hard in this area this year. This is what it means to get Jesus up and get him out. Okay? And we're going to do that in some very specific ways, but I want us to be reminded of what Matthew 28 says Begin with me, if you would, at verse 19. Here's the Great Commission to us. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the commission given to us. We must do it in word and in deed, as Colossians 3:17 says. There are two ways specifically that we're going to do this year. I've already mentioned this to you, but for those of you who don't know this, we are going to have a personal evangelism training course that's called, it's a course called Way of the Master. Maybe some of you have seen Ray Comfort's videos on YouTube as he's sharing the gospel personally with people. We've used this in the past. We're resurrecting it again now. And listen, I am personally teaching this course this year. Okay, I'm teaching this course, and I'm inviting all of you to be a part of it. And we're going to learn together how to share the gospel with people, and then we're going to practice it together by going out in the community and doing it this year. That's going to happen, okay? And I'm leading that. I'm teaching that. I'm going to do it by my teaching and by my example, and we're all, by God's grace, going to see people come to know Christ this year. Amen? That's number one. Number two, corporately, we have also resurrected something that we did in the past that was one of the biggest outreach events that we've ever done as a church, and we're now doing it again this year. It's called Hope for Western Wayne County. That's going to happen in the month of August this year. We're going to be gearing up for it all year long, and I want to now take the time and show you, if you weren't here then, you're going to see what it was like. For those of you who were here at that time and served with us, you're going to be blessed by some of these memories. But I got a video I want to show you right now that's going to take us back in time to 2012, okay, when we did this together as a congregation. We had over 1,000 people on our property that day. Many of them heard the gospel for the very first time. We gave out free groceries. We had doctors here doing free medical exams. We had dentists on the property doing dental exams. We had people here helping others how to find a job. It was great. Great, and we're going to do it again for the purpose of getting Jesus up and getting Jesus out, okay, by both word and deed, and it's going to be a big deal, and you're going to want to be a part of it, and this is what it looked like in the past. Let's go ahead and roll that video. We'll go ahead and bring that to an end just for the sake of time, but I think you get a sense of what that event was like, don't you? It was an enormous blessing to a lot of people in our area, and by God's grace, we're going to do it again this year in August. I want to introduce Ian Mulvaney to you. He's sitting right over here to my left, your right. Ian, would you stand, please? And I don't know, is Ron Orr in the building right now, this service? Is Ron here? Ian and Ron, as you know, Ian and Melissa and their family, and Ron this year is going to be assisting them very closely, but they're going to be the ones overseeing and leading the charge this year once again like they did in the past, okay? You're going to hear a lot more about that in the coming weeks. There's going to be many opportunities for you to step forward to take on some responsibility and serve with us. And one of the other things that we're going to need to do, church, I'm just telling you right now, and I'm asking you to pray about this, okay? We're going to have to give in order to pull this off. It's not budgeted. It's something that we're going to have to give above and beyond so that we can do this as a church, okay? But I know we can do it. I believe God has called us to do it, and I believe wherever God calls, He always provides whatever is necessary to accomplish His will. Amen? So we're going to do it. So you be praying about that. You be thinking about that. So I've shared my heart with you today. I've shared some ways in which I think we can all grow together. Let's stand together. Let's have a closing word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, please take what has been said today and use it as only you can. Be honored and glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You're loved. You're loved. Have a great rest of the day. We'll see you later. Bye.